Can you give us a sense then of how much the drop in fertility levels is?
Well, in just the past 11 years, it's gone from an average of 1.94 children per woman to 1.55. So a big drop.
Yeah. And what does that, is there any way of, because these figures, it sounds like a big drop to you, to me a little bit, to some people it might not, because no one thinks of children in that sense, do they? They don't really think of points of children or whatever. What does this actually mean? If you kind of, I don't know, extrapolate it out, what does it mean in real terms?
If we go back 10 years ago, so women were having more or less replacing themselves. I mean, every family was having two children.
Yeah.
Now they're not going to replace themselves. So while most women still say they want to have two or more children, they're not ending up having them. They're having one child. Yeah. And or no children, and that's why the average goes from around 2 to 1.5.
That's a really interesting way of putting it, not replacing yourself. This drop is across all different educational levels?
Yeah, so, I mean, what women differ in their fertility is what demographers call it, in their childbearing, by both their parents' education and their own education. The two of them both contribute. In every group defined by those two, the parents and own education, fertility has fallen. Now of course there's differences among them. I mean, at present, the highest fertility is among those whose both parents and their own education is low. In all the other three groups where they were upwardly mobile compared to their parents or downwardly mobile, or had both parents and women had high education, they have the lowest fertility.
And do you have any idea? I mean, we already have, you know, many people putting forward ideas as to why this might be the case. You know, childcare costs, women expecting, demanding equality, when it comes to childcare, jobs, etc., ecological, environmental concerns. I'll read an email in a second with someone who's kind of putting that forward. Were you able to ascribe any reasons to the falling fertility rate?
Well, whatever it is not specific to the UK. Mm. If we compare the countries that are closest to us, like Netherlands, France, Belgium, it's very similar. In fact, France has a slightly higher fertility rate, but Belgium and the Netherlands is more or less the same as us. I mean, in Southern Europe, the fertility is the lowest, but it's also fell in the last decade. So whatever is driving this is not specific to individual policies and countries. So you have to look for something that's common across Europe.
Yeah.
In fact, it's not even confined to Europe. The United States has had a big fall in the fertility rate in the past decade as well. So it's something that's, you know, it has to be something that's quite general. I mean, if we look at maybe more concrete things, you can think of the housing market, which has been very difficult for young people across Europe and increasingly in the United States as well. So, I mean, that might be one thing that's driving this. I mean, if we know that more young people are still living with their parents later on into their 20s and even 30s. It's hard to have children when you haven't formed a partnership outside.
Yes. there's two other things I want to ask you very, very quickly. Because some people are getting in touch saying, well, you know, this is an overcrowded planet anyway, we shouldn't be having more children. But what is the impact economically of a low total fertility rate?
Well, I think this Nobody knows the exact answer to that, but it's sort of a completely different world than we're used to living in. If we continually have this low fertility, we're going to have much more aged population, aged workforce. Whether though that sort of in that sort of world, particularly amongst the people who are still working, whether that's as innovative and dynamic an economy, we don't know. Maybe other things will compensate. And of course, there's also the problem of paying pensions to an increasingly large number of elderly people relative to the people who are working. So there's great challenges.
In terms of plugging the gap, what about immigration? Now, I'm not interested, obviously, in your kind of moral view on immigration, but kind of mathematically. Migration Watch UK predicts that at current levels of net migration, the UK population would increase its population by 16 million by 2046. Is importing people who perhaps are more keen to have children, would that help?
Well, it's certainly if younger people come in, when most migrants are quite young in their 20s and so forth, I mean, they obviously come in their childbearing years, so of course they add more children. They add themselves as well. I mean, they're sort of in their 20s. They're sort of young compared to the average age of the workforce. And so, but it's if most in most countries where there's you look at immigrants over generations, they relatively quickly adopt the fertility patterns of the place they move to. So in the short run, it would obviously make a difference in terms of, say, the number of workers to pensioners and the number of people having children. But I mean, eventually, if in the longer run, if European countries do not replace themselves, they're going to be smaller countries compared to the rest of the world.
Really
I should
interesting.
say that
Go on.
fertility is falling in the rest of the world too.
Yeah.